Isaiah chapter number 5, if you'd like to read with us this morning, we'd love to have your participation. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. If you'd like to stand and read with us, we're going to read Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. We're going to read Genesis 49 and verse 22, and then Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Collectively here. Praise God. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? For just a moment, if I may, could I just remind us again this book that some of you are holding in your hands, some of you are reading it. Otherwise, you can go ahead and put the scripture up. It'd be great. Just remember that somebody died so you could hold that book. Somebody had their tongue cut out, literally cut out of their mouth, because they dared to copy the scriptures that we're standing here freely today and have the opportunity to read. So just from time to time, let's remind ourselves of what a price that a lot of folks have paid down through the years so we can stand here and have the Word of God to read. We're blessed. Let's read it together. Now I will sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, and men of Judea, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. Genesis 49 and verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Praise God. Last week I spoke to you from Matthew chapter 13 about the wise farmer and the wise, successful farmer. So I am yet in that vein here this morning. But I want to use for a title, actually a question. Because I think we all need to take some time to look and see. My title is, what is growing in your vineyard? What is growing in your vineyard? You remember from last week, the man that sowed good seed in his field. Matthew chapter 13, I think about verse number 24. And he knew that he had a good field, and he knew that he was sowing good seed, but an enemy snuck in or crept in and sowed tares, wheat tares, among the wheat. And it was seemingly a good while before he realized that there was something else that was growing in that field besides what he had put there. So we have to be cautious. We have to guard our field. That man that sowed good seed, it specifically said that he sowed good seed in his field. There's a distinction in Matthew chapter 13 from the man that sows good seed in his field, expecting to reap a crop, versus the sower in chapter 13 at the beginning that just went out to sow. And there's not necessarily a right way or a wrong way. There are people even in our ministry here that from week to week they go places. They go into the jails and they go other places, sometimes ministry on the street. And they're sowing seed, and that's an order, and that's biblical. The sower went forth to sow, but not all of that seed produced like it should have and like God would have liked for it to, because some fell in stony places, some fell by the wayside, some was consumed by the birds, the fowls of the air. But the other man had a good field, and he understood the quality of his field. He understood what he had, and he made effort to put good seed in his field. And I think we can liken this chapter 5 of Isaiah when he's speaking here concerning the vineyard of Israel. Isaiah is speaking to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the men of Judea. He sings a song that is well beloved as touching his vineyard. Praise God. As he sings this song in our minds, at least I do anyway, I think as the song is being sang, we can conjure in our minds a vineyard of the highest order. It is well kept, no doubt. It is groomed. It is manicured. It is taken care of. Hallelujah. The singer would also have us to notice the infrastructure and the architecture for which he has built. Amen. He put in there, no doubt, he built the song there in the writing. It says he built a tower. Amen. No doubt that tower was for observation, so he could watch over his vineyard. He could go up in that tower and see over what was going on. So we see from the songwriter, there's architecture and there's infrastructure. Amen. Also, he has a wine press, the ability in which to process the blood of the grapes. Amen. That he knows and he intends. You can tell that he is planning on having a harvest from his vineyard. Amen. The songwriter would also have us notice there's a fence. Amen. Possibly, I don't know, but possibly a stone fence that was made from the stones that were gathered. Because we read in that song that he gathered stones from that place where he was going to plant a vineyard. Amen. The mention of the fence lets us know that he feels like he has something that is worth protecting. Hallelujah. He has a good place. He's picked a prime spot, and he gathered out the stones and he kept it and he manicured it and he had it looking good. It had some curb appeal and some eye appeal, no doubt. Amen. All of these things he done. He planted it with the choicest of vines. After gathering out the stones, he sings of the planting of the choicest vines. Amen. Now he possibly goes to his observation tower and looks for produce. Amen. But much to his dismay, or to the dismay of the songwriter, his vineyard brings forth wild grapes. That wasn't what he was expecting. That wasn't what he was looking for. That wasn't intended in his initial investment of his time and energy and resources. Amen. Oh yes, and his intellectual ability to know what to do and what needed to be done to have a successful vineyard. Amen. At this point, one may only speculate, amen, from this point, what might have happened to cause this so-called or these so-called choice vines to revert back to a wild vine, amen, or a vine that was of lesser quality. Amen. You remember from last week, those tares, those wheat tares that were sown into that field, amen, of that man that had good field and good ground. They were wheat tares. They were wheat seeds of a lesser quality. Come on now. Amen. Oh yes. Hey, you remember I told you, I shared some good news with you. Amen. Perhaps even a wheat tare in a good field with good ground and some tender love and care might even have the possibility of producing a little something Amen. Well, hallelujah. All of us that feel like that we are inferior or are less than what we should have been. Thank God we got put in a good field and a good shepherd and a wise farmer that might be able to get something out of us. Well, I'd like to help somebody in here this morning. Amen. We have good seed. We have good field. We have a good knowledge of the Word of God. But I wonder why in the world, amen, and I know if you got around some of our types, we feel like we are of the highest order. We feel like we're living the closest. Amen, if we thought there was somebody that was doing better, we'd probably go to them. But I want to ask you a hard question, and I want you to answer it in your mind. Why in the world are we not producing a bumper crop? Amen, I'm asking you again. Oh yes, I don't mean to encourage anybody, but why are there empty pews in our, not only in this church, but churches all across our country? We have the best. We have the quality. We have the Word of God. We have the anointing. We've tried to root out all the weeds and the evil things that the enemy would try to use to corrupt. And sometimes we look over, and I'm speaking about primarily right now about our own self and our own vineyard and our own field. Can we look and see any produce? Is there anything coming out of my life? Is there anything coming out of my ministry? Is there anything coming from me that is being production or would be considered production for the kingdom of God? I know it's a hard question, but we need to ask ourselves some hard questions sometimes. What are we expecting to receive from our vineyard? Oh, thank you, Jesus. The sad verse of this song is, at this point, the songwriter becomes disappointed. And he allows his disappointment to become frustration, to the point of depression and total abandonment of his vineyard. Are y'all listening to me preach this morning? You know, and that's exactly what your enemy wants you to do. He wants you to become frustrated with your Christian walk. He wants you to become frustrated with what you think that you wanted to do and thought you could do and you're not able to do for whatever reason. I'm telling you, I'm talking about me. These are battles that I have all the time because I want to see things. I want things to happen. And sometimes it seems like we take a few steps forward and then something hits us and pulls us back again. Hey man, that's the enemy trying to discourage you and get you to pull back from what you're doing. He wants you to become frustrated. He wants you to become aggravated and irritated until the point that you will abandon what God would have liked to have done in your life. Amen. That's exactly what the songwriter does. He abandons his vineyard. By the time the song ends, the vineyard has fallen into total disrepair. Amen. The thorns have grown up and the thistles have come up in it. Amen. I don't know what happened, but I want to warn you now before I go on with this message. Anytime, hear me now, anytime you have something quality, anytime you have something that God is willing to sow His good seed into your field, you also have an enemy that is just as interested in your good field and your beautiful infrastructure and your mighty tower and your stone wall fence. Amen. Anything that is good, anything that is quality, makes you a prime target for the enemy. Well, I need to help somebody here this morning. I'm preaching to people right now. You could sing, but you don't. You could testify, but you don't. You could preach, but you don't. You could teach a Sunday school class, but you don't. Amen. Why? Because you become frustrated. You become discouraged.
discouraged. Amen. Sometimes we try to point our finger at something else or somebody else or this reason or this personality. But when it comes right down to it, it is your vineyard. And God is looking for you to produce something. Amen. The negative is always going to be there. The frustration is always going to be there. The disappointment is always going to be there. And you're going to spend a life of never producing something quality because of your own frustrations. And disappointments. Amen. Can I pivot just a little bit here? Hebrews chapter 12. I already read one verse out of this. I want to read a few more here. Holy Ghost, help us here today. I want to help everybody in this house. I want you. I'm not asking you to look over your shoulder. I'm not asking you to look at the pastor. I'm not asking you to look at anybody else you worship with. I am asking you to take inventory of your own vineyard. Amen. Are you producing what you wanted to produce out of your vineyard? Amen. Here's the job of all of us. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. Amen. Let it rather be healed. Oh, I wish I could, as the shepherd this morning, administer the balm. Amen. Oh, I know there's people here that's hearing me preach that has quality in their life. I know you have a good field. I know you have ground that would produce. Amen. But you're sitting idly on the sidelines because you're discouraged and frustrated and aggravated. Amen. I'm saying this morning, come on, church. Let's send the word of God toward them. Amen. Let it be healed. Be made whole in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come out of that place where you are. Take another look from your tower and see what God has given you and see if it's not worth some more time and some more energy and some more effort. Amen. To try to be healed in the name of Jesus, so I can produce a crop. Rather, let it be healed. Amen. You remember I covered that last week. We don't go around. We don't go around trying to separate the wheat from the tares. Because we will upset and inhibit and hinder the growth of the good. I know that runs afoul with what a lot of people believe. Amen. Follow peace. I know there are some so-called holiness people that love this verse right here and they so misinterpret it. I've heard people use it in an argument. Say the Bible says you got to be holiness, which you do have to be holy. But they use that the name on our church without holiness. And so they say, well, the Bible says without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That's not exactly what it says. And I don't necessarily mean to pop anybody's bubble here this morning. But it did say follow peace with all. Somebody say all. Follow peace with all men. Then add to that holiness. You're going to have a hard time being holiness. If you're a troublemaker and you're sowing discord among brethren and you've always got a fight of some kind going, there's always a contradiction, there's always a struggle. I know people always have a battle. They always got something. Follow peace, follow peace. Seek peace. I nearly changed my message right here. Seek peace and pursue it. If you'd quit chasing some of that other stuff and seek peace and the things that make for peace and quit listening to the aggravators and the irritators and the frustrators and all the other taters in that family and start pursuing peace.
Amen. Woo! Well, y'all about to shout me down a while ago. Now it's quiet. And holiness, holiness, and then there's a comma, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hallelujah. Looking diligently, lest any fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up, trouble you, and thereby many, somebody say many, thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. My God, that ought to bring fear in every one of our heart. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited a blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Amen. Why do you suppose the enemy was so interested with thousands of people that was living at that time? Amen. Why in the world do you think the enemy was so interested in Esau? Amen. I can tell you at least one reason. Amen. For no other reason, Brother Keith, than because he was the son of Abraham and Isaac. Come on, help me preach. How many knows that Abraham and Isaac had a blessing from God? I mean, whatever they done, wherever they went, wherever the sole of their foot trod, God was giving them riches and wealth. Amen. That also got the attention of the enemy. Amen. And the one that would have been the husbandman to that same field that Abraham and Isaac was producing out of was going to fall to Esau. Amen. And the devil wanted in. And the devil wanted what he had. And the enemy of his soul and his vineyard wanted to take what he had. Amen. You got to help me here this morning. Amen. He knew he couldn't get it. He knew he could never break down that hedge that God had around Abraham and Isaac. But he devised a plan. If I can but get a root of bitterness over that wall. If I can just get a root of bitterness in that field. If I can get him upset at his brother. If I can cause sibling rivalry. If I can cause some aggravation. I'll get a root of bitterness and it will stop him from producing. Remember what I said at the first. If you have a field that's quality, your enemy wants in your field. You say, why Esau? Why Esau? Because he knew that Esau was in line for good ground. Oh, man, my heart's breaking for somebody here this morning. I know there's so many. There's so many that our enemy, you got to understand, it's not the church, it's not the pastor, it's not the brothers and sisters you worship with. It's not them that's caught you. I know the devil's convinced you that it's them that's your problem, but it's not. It's your enemy. Amen. I'm not even preaching you down and saying it's you. Amen. It's your enemy that knows that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to preach you up because I know you have good ground. I know you can produce for the kingdom of God. And it's your enemy that wants to creep in. Amen. With something corruptible and ruin your vineyard. So at the very least, it won't produce what it could have or should have. Amen. And the sad thing about it is, years go by and people stay in that place of frustration, aggravation, disappointment. Amen. Because the enemy successfully got a root of bitterness in their good ground. Y'all, I'm sorry to be so long today, but I can't just break. Sometimes I can just break it off and pick up, but I don't think I can. Yeah. He He knows the way to mess it up is to creep in with a little root of bitterness that nobody sees. You don't even realize it's there. I've had it happen. I've had it happen to me countless times. Where I have no idea, Brother Dickey, where it came from. I don't know how it got in there. I don't know. I know it was an enemy. But all of a sudden, I'm dealing with something I didn't know. I didn't know where I picked that up. But it's working on me. It was working on me. It was working against me. It was causing me problems. The first thing the enemy wants to do is start pointing out people and say, that's it, that's it, that one. Boy, get that one out. Ease that one out. Move that one out. And then everything will level out. Yeah. You know, I remember Dr. Rice so many years ago, ACE school convention. I'll just run this little test for y'all right here, because there's probably people that think this way. He said, teachers, principals, you know, teachers, I want you to, right now, think of that child in your learning center that is your problem. He gave everybody a minute like I'm giving y'all. We can do this little exercise. Who in this church is your problem? Who do you think in this church? You think if they wasn't here, if God just moved them out of the way, boy, your vineyard would just bloom and blossom and you'd go to heaven. Produce some fruit. Which one? Which one would that be? He gives everybody a minute. You got him? Got that face? Were you thinking of this kid and that one? Boy, if I would just get rid of them. He said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, you go back home and you get rid of them. He said, as soon as you do, another one will come right back up in his place. So what he's saying, you keep getting rid of them. You keep getting rid of your problems. After a while, you don't have a school. And that's the reason a lot of places don't hardly have church. I remember, I may have to break this off. Brother Dale Crawford, my dad was my pastor. Brother Dale Crawford was my mentor. I remember right after I started preaching, we was working together. We were riding. Or long during that time, God was dealing with me. Might have been just a little before that. And he, in the privacy, Brother John, of he and I riding along together, he named some names of people that I know. If I called names, some of you would know them. He said, I've watched, and they're good people. It wasn't that there wasn't good men. He said, I've watched their pastoring style and their leadership style is. They always have to have a villain. Always has to be a villain. And he said, you know, they're good people. And he called some of them names. And some of them have been quite successful. And they work on that and they work on that and they work on that till finally, poor old, he just can't take it no more. And he figures out it's him, you know. So he packs up his family and he moves. And as soon as he does, another one. Another target. Boy, y'all are awful quiet, and I'm smiling, and y'all are not. I don't know. We're all having a good time here today, aren't we? A root of bitterness from your enemy, not your brother, not your sister, not the Sunday school teacher, not somebody. No. It's from the enemy. Sad to say, that root of bitterness destroyed Esau's future. Amen. Praise God. I don't hardly know what to do here. I feel a little change here taking place right now. For one morsel meat. Aggravation, frustration with his brother. I know the other fellow had problems too. Jacob did. Matter of fact, I am pivoting right here. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to change right here. Because I feel something I need to speak to right now. Jacob and Esau grew up in an extremely dysfunctional family. You say, how could that be? A man like Isaac has the favor of God on him, the blessing of God. The miracle of his birth is miraculous. But you don't have to read very much in Genesis so you can find out. Between Isaac and Rebekah, they were not in unity in their marriage. One was pushing one way, one was pushing the other. One was pushing for one boy, one was pushing for the other. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. If you want to have a dysfunctional family and you want to raise children that are really messed up, be super religious like Isaac was on Sunday morning and super carnal the rest of the time. And you will successfully mess up your vineyard. Amen. It was a dysfunctional family. There was problems in the home. Problems in the marriage. Amen. How do you know that? Well, you read it. Amen. Isaac, so somebody needs to be thinking about a song. I wasn't going to use this today, but I am now. Isaac's old. He can't see. He knows that he's got to do something about his inheritance. Passing on that blessing and all this wealth and property. Esau wants the carnal things, but he does not want the spiritual things that goes along with the birthright. In that day, that birthright carried double things. Double portion, double. It carried the wealth. It carried the inheritance. And it also carried the lineage of the anointing of God and the promise that would go down to that next generation. How do you know that? Because Esau married, Esau married outside the faith. Esau took strange women from the Canaanites. He broke the rules. But he still wanted the blessing. Jacob wants the blessing. And he wants the inheritance. But he don't want to wait on God's timing and God's will. Man. I don't know why I'm preaching this way. But you can mess up. You can mess up what God wants to do in your vineyard by not getting the timing right. It wasn't the right time. And you know, Esau's a man of the field. He done things boys do. He smelled like a boy. He acted like a boy. He done hunted rough. Man's man. I don't know. Jacob may have been a little limp-wristed. I don't know that. But I perceive that Jacob was mama's boy. And I know for sure that he knew how to cook. And let me tell you something, boys. There's nothing wrong with learning how to cook. I'm experiencing that a little bit this week. That one fellow said his mom taught him a lot of four-letter words. Taught him how to cook, how to iron, how to wash. But when it come time for this disunity, for this root of bitterness to spring up, when Isaac is determined to give this blessing to Esau, and Jacob connives, or his mother connives with him. Amen. Are y'all still hearing me preach this morning? And Brother Carlton, they made the whole thing up. I mean, they just made it up. It quickly went. She heard him say to Esau, go in the field and take venison. Come back. I heard your father say it. Come over here, Jacob. Come here, boy. Go to the field real quick. Take a kid. We'll put that fleece on you because your brother's a hairy man. You'll go in. Your father will feel the smooth of your neck. Take this. This kid will taste so much like a deer. He'll not know the difference. Man, I'm telling you, God help me. If I could preach right now,
If people would just understand the decisions you're about to make, the things you're thinking about doing, the thing you're going to tell that person when you get them on the phone, how you're going to line them up. Do you know, understand that some little something you do that's going to help you get your way, because you know that the way you're thinking is exactly right. Amen. And you know even God and the judgment and everybody would agree with you. And you're going to do it, but is it going to be worth 20 years of separation? Is it going to be worth all of those years you can't talk to your brother? You can't have lunch with him. You can't have dinner with him. You can't do anything. The consequences of that one little thing you done. Amen. I'm not getting into the prophetic and the biblical part of this. I know the word says in Hebrews, Jacob have I loved and Esau I've hated. And that's theological and that's deep. I don't even want to get into that. But there were just little things that the enemy successfully used to drive that family apart. Amen. I need somebody to come onto the piano. Let's get ready to sing. Is the Lord helping us here this morning? Is God reaching out to somebody's heart this morning? If I can just at this point, I'll catch him just right. I'll get Esau one of these days because I know what he likes. And he'll be on one of those long hunts and he'll come in. And I'll use my supplanting. Amen. And that's exactly what happened. He met him in the field returning. No doubt from a safari of some kind. And he says, sell me this day your birthright. Amen. Amen. See what's happening in that root of bitterness that has sprung up. That's been causing problems in that family. That's been causing problems in that marriage. That's been causing them to have issues now. Has now moved into the children. Amen. They're fussing and fighting with one another. For one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. And we know how that afterward, when he would have repented. Let's stand all over the house this morning. He found no place of repentance. Praise God. Good seed, a good vineyard, a good field, beautiful infrastructure. Jacob and Esau had the life that millions of people at that time would have loved to have. But they spent all those years in chaos and trouble. Amen. Would you lift your hands right now? Seem like I've maybe lost a few right here. I'm not finished with this altar call yet. Just reach out. Ask God to help us here today. I'm sure it's going to someone here, but it's probably going in various places. Maybe different places around the world. Let's just pray for a moment, church. You're doing good. Just go ahead and lift your voice for a moment or two. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We need you here today, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help us to be careful, sensitive, prayerful, understanding. Oh, God, because we have an enemy that is so creepy. He's a creeping little outfit. He's so sneaky. And he puts things in and he slips things past our wall. It gets inside our fence and it gets in our good ground. And after a while we realize something's growing. We realize it's been a year. We passed a whole year and we didn't produce. Another year and we still didn't produce. Another year and still no production. What are we going to do? Praise God. Tell you what we need to do. We need to protect our field. We need to protect one another. We need to love one another. God, give us unity. Give us love for our brothers and sisters, the ones we worship with, the ones that we know so well, the ones that we've seen their faults and failures, and it's hindered us and upset us and aggravated us and frustrated us. But oh God, here today, we realize we have a valuable field. We have a good field, Lord. And we know that the word that we're preaching and teaching is good seed. Oh God, I'm asking you today that somebody be healed
Maybe somebody that usually don't come to the altar, maybe you'll find a place to pray where somebody can just reach out and slip an arm around you and encourage you and love you and help you. There's nobody in this church that wants anybody to be lost. My God, more than ever now, did you see the videos we showed this morning of missionaries? We need to be growing. We need to see lives change. We need to see the broken healed. Rather, let it be healed. God can do it. He wants to do it for you. Oh, that day, if I could get that picture after all of those years and all of that time of separation, and now Father's about to pass away. Amen. But that day that God moved, amen, are y'all hearing me right now? That day that Jacob and Esau, after all those years, are about to meet back together. It seemed like the Spirit of God reached right down in that field and pulled all of that bitterness out and let those two brothers embrace one another. Amen, and see their families and their cousins and their children and nieces and nephews that they never got to be around. Think of all the weddings they missed. Think of all the funerals they missed. Think of all the graduations they missed. Think of all the good things that are missed in a family because of that root of bitterness that took root. Probably tonight I wasn't going to use Jacob and Esau. The Holy Ghost just done that to me even after I spake a while ago that I was going to move on. But I may use tonight Joseph for an illustration. I read that in my opening text this morning where his branches was reaching over the wall. That's what God wants you to do. Church, are you all feeling my heart this morning? Is it somebody give me a witness? Is it going back there? Is it reaching? Is it going to the sound booth? Is it reaching past those other walls? Is it going between these pews? Is it reaching up here on the platform? What Brother Sloggett said this morning is exactly correct. There have been times that people lost ground playing instruments. We got to have instruments. Somebody's got to play the instruments. But you know what? Sometimes we got to get off of that instrument and get in and work on our ground. We got to get that stone. We might, you know, when we're looking in that tire, we might realize something's went to work. Remember Solomon said, take us the little foxes. Those little foxes that could burrow under the wall, that could get inside. You know, those big things. Come on now. I wish I didn't have you standing now, but I'm just about done. We're always worried about that big thing. We're always worried about that divorce. We're always worried about that thing that's going to separate mom and daddy. You know what it is? It's those little things. Most of the time when I've counseled people, they really don't even know what the problem is. They don't know what started it. They just know there's a bunch of little things working. And those little foxes. We'll spoil that vine and what God wants to do. One more time, lift your hands. In Jesus' name, we're making this altar call right here, right now. Oh God, I'm preaching to people, Lord, that have good vineyards. My God, they have beautiful houses, great infrastructure, a wine press. I mean, everything is set up to produce. There's only one problem. They're just not producing. Oh God, help Bethany. God, help me and my pastorate, Lord. Give me that shepherd's heart to know how to minister to that broken and that hurting one that I know can produce. Oh, in Jesus' name. Holy, holy, holy. Oh, yes, sing that. Oh, I wish every one of us could sing that. Before anybody makes a break and come to the altar, would you just stand for a moment? And let's just, if y'all can find the words, would you put those words up? I surrender all. I know this is totally backward from what I usually do. This is what I feel like doing. Let's sing it. Let's sing it. This time, think about those words you're singing and let's...
Let's try while we're singing this to walk around our vineyard. Let's climb up in that tower and take a look over it.
All to thee, my
blessed Savior. Just worship. You're doing good. You're doing exactly what I'm asking you to do. I feel like God can move from the front to the back, side to side. Everybody that's listening and watching it around the world can hear what's taking place here. We invite you to sing it with us wherever you're watching or listening from.
All
to Jesus
I surrender.
Praise, thanking Him for what He's done in your life. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. Just thank Him for what He's doing right now. Oh, I believe He's changing somebody. I believe it's about to break through to somebody. Oh, I surrender all. Somebody wants to pray, you want to seek God around the altars, we'll give you just a moment. If somebody wants to do that or you want special prayer, we'll take time for that. If no one feels a special need or urgency, I think the Holy Ghost is doing something right now. We could just continue to worship Him, give Him praise for what He's doing. Hallelujah. Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Let's just close out this service today worshiping Him. Come on, sing some more of that.
Y'all do what you feel like you need to do, church. I appreciate your attendance so much. Lord, it's been such a wonderful spirit in this service today. There may be some seeking God back here. The altars are open if you want to spend some time. Services went a little lengthier today than normal. At least the preaching part has. Oh, I feel like God's helping us here today.
Savior, I surrender all.
Oh, I surrender all.
Yes, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior.
Such a presence here this morning.
I feel the same.
Just seems like God's right here so close.
Oh,
maybe somebody does need to take a step toward Him.
Salvation.
Rather, let it be
glory,
healed.
Glory to
oh, God can reverse the damage of the root.
I surrender.
Oh, I'm telling you, He sure can. He can reverse it. Saints of God, do like you feel like doing today. God may want to use you. Speak a word of encouragement to somebody. Oh, yes.
To thee, my blessed Savior, surrender.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yes, Lord. Remember 5:55 this evening. It'll be prayer request time. If you have requests you want the saints to help you pray about, you come at 5:55 and give it in.